Okay, so my name is Cheyenne Harding, and I'm FaceTiming with my Uncle Chris in Michigan. How are you doing?
Very good.
All right, so where were you born?
In St. Joseph, Michigan.
All right. Who were your parents, and what did they do for jobs when you were younger?
Okay, is Carla and Tom Kirby. And Carla was a data processing supervisor for Allphase Electric Company. And my dad was a factory worker, material handler, forklift driver, for what was Bendix then and is now called Bosch.
Oh, cool. Did you have any siblings?
Yes, a younger sister and an older brother.
And did they serve or anything in the military?
No.
No?
No.
Just you?
No.
How did your parents or your siblings react to you joining the service?
Let's see. Well, actually, my father was in a coma at the time, and my brother was off, and my little sister has Down syndrome. So basically, that would have been just my mother. And let's see. Nervous.
Nervous.
Understood.
Yep. Absolutely. Did you hold any jobs before entering the service?
Yes. Factory worker, let's see, several factory jobs.
Several. Cool. All right. So we'll move to the early days of your service. Can you tell me about when you went into the military? Were you drafted? Did you enlist?
Enlisted.
You enlisted?
Enlisted.
And what branch did you go into?
The Army.
You went into the Army?
Yep.
What made you want to enlist?
Let's see, because didn't want to do factory jobs for the rest of my life.
Right. I understand that.
Things were changing. They used to be really good and steady, but at that time, there was a recession, and they weren't paying very well.
Right.
It was a very hard job for low pay.
So what type of training or schooling did you have when you went into the service?
Well, let's see. Well, it's called an 88 Mike, and that's a vehicle operator. So we trained on several vehicles. I had 27 different driver's license. And then, let's see, combat life-saving courses and some other Army correspondence courses.
Hmm. What is your most vivid memory of your time training or in school?
Let's see. Well, I guess it would have to be for the special weapons team. The special weapons team allowed me to be on a secret clearance,
mm-hmm.
and work with nuclear weapons.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
scary.
Very neat. We didn't have to use them or anything.
Oh, well, that's good. Do you remember what the worst memory is that you've had?
Yes, get my windshield blown out during the war.
Oh, no.
Yep.
What was your first assignment after basic training?
Fort Riley, Kansas.
Fort Riley. Ooh, yep. You came to my neck of the woods.
First of the 5th Field Artillery Unit, Fort Riley, Kansas.
Cool.
Yeah.
And is that when you met Aunt Leanne around
That's
that time?
That's when I met Aunt Marcy, and then eventually, through Aunt Marcy, me and your Aunt Leanne met.
Oh. Right?
Yep. In Clay Center, Kansas.
Cool.
Smith Center. I was thinking your dad's place.
Yeah.
Hey, Joey,
do you recall any of your instructors, and if so, what were they like?
No.
Yes, I do, and they were mean.
They were mean.
basic training and the AIT afterwards is very similar.
Right.
And a lot of them are drill sergeants are the instructors. And so, yep. Very in-your-face learning.
Oh no, I don't think I could do that.
Their motto was, what your mind forgets, your body will remember.
Oh gosh. Does your body still remember it?
Oh yeah.
So did you ever receive any promotions?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes. 1, 2, 3.
3? And what were they?
Moving up in rank.
Just moving up in rank?
Yep.
Cool.
Wait, bronze medals?
Oh, yeah. Actually, also received 3 bronze stars for the war. And then a lot of other accommodations and awards and stuff.
Cool.
Yep.
What was the hardest part of the military lifestyle for you to adapt to?
Probably being away. You know, that's right. Probably the hardest part. Right. Yep.
You're a very family-oriented person, too, so I can imagine that being the hardest.
Yeah, because, well, and let's see, back then we didn't have cell phones, we didn't have everything, so being overseas for 6 months,
right.
You would write a letter, and it would be about 3 weeks to 4 weeks before you would get a response. So anything that you would write would be 3 or 4 weeks after the letter that you got replying to. So right. It'd be, you know, so communication was tough.
Right. So we're going to move to your wartime service. Where did you serve?
Mm-hmm.
Where did you serve?
Oh, in the Southwest Theater of Asia, which was Saudi Arabia, Iraq, and Kuwait.
What were your recollections of that experience?
Let's see. Well, it was hot. It was cold. Cold. Super hot. You know, and the smoke fires, the living outside. Slept inside the truck for almost 5 months straight, unless with my windows blown out, so that didn't help. But then, you know, it got so bad on my knees from not laying down that my knees swelled up. And so the medic said that I had to lay down. So that's when I had to sleep on top of the cab for a few days. And then that pretty much took care of that and everything.
Right.
Or on a cot under my truck. So, because we're always on the move. We didn't have, our unit didn't have tents.
Right. So, that's crazy.
So, yeah.
Were you in combat support, or combat support service role?
Combat.
You're in combat?
Windows blown out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're right on front. Yep.
That's scary.
Uh-huh. Lead vehicle, too.
Oh, really?
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't do that. That's yep. Scary.
Yeah, especially through the landmine fields.
How did you guys maneuver through that?
Carefully.
Carefully? Did you have like, detectors?
Oh, yeah. We had vehicles that ran over some, you know.
We had a couple friends that got killed.
Yeah, we actually had friends that had died over there, too, so.
Right.
Yep.
What kinds of friendships or camaraderies did you form while serving?
Tight bonds. Yep.
Yeah. Cool.
What
did you do for recreation when you were off duty?
Let's see. Over there or just anywhere? And
it can be any time when you're over there, when you're home.
Okay. Yeah. Over there, there really wasn't. I mean, there was most of the time, if either we were driving and hauling supplies, ammunition, water, food, and stuff like that, or we were on guard duty on the perimeter. And so a lot of times...
We were able to go check out a couple of the little surrounding towns.
Oh, after the war. That's true. That's true. After the war, we, let's see, there was about 2 weeks of out processing. And so they had a big section fenced off for all of us military,
mm-hmm.
but they had a lot of the tents from people that lived there in Saudi. They would set it up, and they would sell the, you know, food or souvenirs, or, you know, it was kind of like this crazy something that you would see, you know, on Alibaba.
Right.
You know it. So, pretty cool. Or Aladdin, I guess.
Right.
And so, visiting and doing that type of stuff and everything. But other than that, a lot of training.
So, you're always busy.
Always, yep.
I guess the only recreation in combat would be watching the people ride in their camels or walking.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, and a lot of times that we're going from place to place, when we were coming back, we were able to find a highway or something, which was just a narrow two-lane road.
Mm-hmm.
And you would pass, like, little Toyota pickup trucks with a camel riding in the back mm-hmm. of it. Or, you know, this giant M50 machine gun strapped on it or something like that. So, or we'd be sitting out there in the middle of the desert. I mean, hundreds of miles away from anything. And all of a sudden, a dozen sheep with, like, two sheep herders mm-hmm. would come walking up. And there's no water, there's no trees, you know it, and that's just what they do, so, crazy.
Entertainment.
That was the entertainment,
nice.
Yep. Every once in a while, I'll see some wild camels out there, but.
Was there something that you did for good luck?
Well, I enjoyed my music. Yeah, I think that would probably be about the most, you know, definitely had a cassette
mm-hmm.
player, MP, no, what is that?
Walkman.
A Walkman. Yep, had a Walkman and had about 8 cassette tapes and a set of headphones.
Nice.
Yeah, they didn't let us travel heavy. That was way better than our winter gear that they told us to leave behind because you're going to the desert.
Right.
Oh my gosh, it was so cold when we got there.
Cold.
Michigan cold.
Oh, okay, I can imagine that. What was the best part of your service experience?
Let's see. Well, probably meeting your Aunt Leanne. That's what I was down there, you know, I was down there stationed, but that was the best part.
Nice.
But as far as the Army, let's see, probably working on the special weapons team, because that was about 6-7 of us in the section, and we were first squad, let's see, and we were the only ones that was on the special weapons team, and we got to do a lot of training with just us. And so that was good stuff.
Cool. All right. So we're going to move to the end of your service. Do you recall the day that your service ended?
Yes.
Where were you when you got the news?
No. Over in the war, like when the war stopped, because everybody knows exactly what day their service is going to end.
Oh.
So yeah. When our service was ready to end, I was well prepared. You have to do a very lengthy out processing. You have to clean and return all of your gear. You have to go through physicals. You have to do all that and mm-hmm. everything.
Neat.
And so it was kind of a lengthy process.
So when you went home, did you go back to St. Joseph?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. As a matter of fact, me and your Aunt Leanne loaded up the Bonneville and the Duster, my tiny little sports car, and sold the Bonneville and, let's see, had everything else shipped back up here.
Cool.
Yep.
How were you received by your family and community?
Oh, I very, very well.
Very well.
Very, very well.
Was it hard for you to readjust to civilian life?
That always takes a little process, but they do a well job of training.
Yeah.
the whole town of St. Joe knew about you, and that's when they had yellow ribbons.
Oh, that's true. That's true. The town had a bunch of support by tying the yellow ribbons around the trees. And let's see, actually got a letter from our congressman.
Oh, cool.
And lots of really neat things.
Cool.
Yeah.
So how did the service change you?
Let's see. Probably much more responsible. You imagine me before?
When I interviewed Papa, he said that it changed him because he became a morning person.
Really?
Yeah.
Still not that. Nope. 5:30 has never been good for me.
Me either.
Nope.
So did the service affect the way you related to others?
I don't think so.
Maybe a bit more respectful.
Yeah, maybe more respectful, and yeah.
Yeah. Did you join any veteran organizations at all?
No.
No?
No. Nope.
Okay. What are some life lessons you learned from your military service?
Let's see. I would have to say the biggest one is a lot of things that are day-to-day are not that big of issues.
Right.
You know, I think truly that the more that somebody sees is the better prepared they are and with dealing with day-to-day life.
Right. And how has your military service impacted your feelings about war and the military in general?
Well, they definitely need to be well prepared,
right.
You know, because bad things are just going to happen. And when they happen, they have to be prepared. And as far as the military and stuff like that, they just step up.
Right.
You know, they're always ready. And so, to do whatever right or wrong, you know what I mean?
Right.
Whatever's asked of them, they step right up to, so.
Good. And what message would you like to leave for future generations who will hear or view this interview?
Let's see. Well, that's a tough one. Let's see. If you do join the service, there's so many opportunities. I mean, it just, they pay you well, they house you, they feed you, they do everything, and they offer so many different courses and classes and correspondence and everything, and everything is there for the people to take advantage of, but a lot of people, they just don't.
Right.
And they come in not much better off than what they leave. And it's a great opportunity for them to better themselves.
Right. Good. All right. So, is there anything that you would like to add that we may not have covered?
Let's see. No, I think that was pretty good.
All right. So, thank you for letting me interview you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah.